First and foremost, I want to say thank you for the opportunity to stand before you this evening and proclaim God's glorious gospel. Have my oldest son with me, Kaven. He's kind of my road buddy. I go various places to preach. He's always there. My wife, Connie, and our other four children are at home. When we think about knowledge, we find it from all places. Thinking about my 15-year-old daughter, she's 15 now, but when she was about 3, one of the words that she used to use, she made it up, it was bunchalotta. And you would say things to her like, do you want more to drink? And she would say, I want a bunchalotta. When we think about God's Word, we need to and we should want a bunchalotta of God's Word. When we think about God's Old Testament written for our learning, we think about the New Testament, the Gospel of Jesus Christ, written for our learning, and we should want to have biblical knowledge. Abounding in knowledge is the topic that I've been given to present this evening. Now, we've heard some things in our life like, what you don't know can't hurt you. Or you might have said that before about your mother. Well, if your mother finds out about that, well, what my mother doesn't know can't hurt her. When all the while, the thing that you maybe were engaging in is something that could hurt yourself. And your mother needed to know so she could guide you away from that because she had knowledge of the end result of that, the consequences. Or maybe you heard this. Someone may say, what are you afraid of? And one may say, the unknown. So those things really don't go together very well. What you don't know can hurt you, but what you're afraid of is the unknown. But we want biblical knowledge and we want to be abounding in biblical knowledge. But when we begin to realize from the Scriptures the source of knowledge is God, we should want God's will, God's Word, God's ways. Now the word abounding means to exist in abundance, to increase, to have over, or to overflow. It means past the brim or full measure. It means a surge or a wave. It means no stopping point. It means boundless or unchained. We are to abound in knowledge. Now, knowledge is discernment or understanding. One might say, well, they're in the know. They know something. Now, I'll give you an example of this, how I began to learn certain aspects of knowledge that I was to have, that my father wanted me to have. It was my 7th grade year, and we had a substitute teacher. Now, my mom was a teacher, and this lady used to sub for my mom all the time. I knew her very well. I usually didn't act up in school. But here's this substitute teacher, and I was talking, and she told me to be quiet, and I kept talking, and she told me to be quiet, and I kept talking. And she said, I'm going to tell your mom. And I said, go ahead, tell her. And so I didn't think much of it anymore. And I went home and did my chores, did my homework, shot a little basketball outside. It was time for supper. We all assembled there around the table. We ate a good supper. And then the phone rang. Now, at this time, they didn't have caller ID. But when that phone rang, I knew who it was. And so as my dad picked the phone up and he's looking at me and he's saying, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am, I understand, I'll take care of it. And he hung the phone up and then he began to impart knowledge. You know, the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 7, that we are to fear God, and that fear is the beginning of knowledge. We are to have a healthy respect for God. Who God is, what God has done, what God continues to do, and what God will do. Now this evening we're going to have 3 points. We're going to have the source of knowledge, that's God. The standard of knowledge is God's Word. And the success of knowledge is godliness. Our 3 points for this evening. Notice, if you will, Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55, verse number 8 and verse number 9, as we begin to stress this point that God's mind is higher than our mind. God is the supreme being. You and I do not know how to walk and be pleasing to God except for what God has revealed to us. Source of knowledge is God. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse number 8 and verse number 9, it says this: "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." See, there in the scripture, it begins to let us know that God's way, where God is higher than where we are. And if we want to be pleasing to God, then we need some of God's knowledge imparted unto us. And we're so thankful for His Word. Notice, if you will, in Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, as we are talking this evening about abounding in knowledge, overflowing with knowledge. It's to the brim and it's over the brim. It's off the chain. It's boundless and limitless. Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 21. Here we have a question about knowledge. It says, "Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth?" What? What do you want me to understand? What is it that I should know? Verse 22. "It is He, God, that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in." Notice verse number 28. "Hast thou not known?" Another question. "Hast thou not heard that their everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding." See, God is high. God is above us. We would do well to go to God's Word to see what it is, "Thus saith the Lord," that You want us to do, God, to be pleasing to You. It is not within man that walks to direct his own steps. In the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 25. Here we find, "Because the foolishness of God," as if God had any foolishness, "because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." If you are looking for your knowledge in men, they are going to let you down. But if you're looking for the knowledge in God, He will never let you down. It is against His nature. He cannot lie. He cannot let you down. God will let you know through the Scriptures what it is you need to do, what I need to do to be pleasing unto Him. Not only is God's mind high, God's mind is rich. And many men look for riches and treasures, and they look in the wrong place. All the while, they need to be looking to the mind of God. Romans chapter 11, verse number 33 and 34. Here it says, "For oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom," notice this, "abounding in knowledge, and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments, and His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been His counselor?" It's not I. It's not you. We're not able to counsel God. God counsels us through His Word. So we say, what is it that we want in this life? Do we want to live forever in heaven with God and with His Son? If that is our goal, then we need to be abounding in knowledge, biblical knowledge, God's knowledge. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse number 3. If we are to abound in knowledge, we need to make known, as mentioned before, the source of knowledge is God. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse number 3, it says this: "Talk no more so exceedingly proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth." Notice this: "For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed." God has the knowledge. He is the source of knowledge. He weighs your actions. He weighs my actions. He weighs every man and woman's actions. Are they living according to His will? Now in the book of Psalms, Psalm 19, verse number 1 beginning. Psalm 19, verse number 1 beginning. It says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork." Notice this. "Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." God's creation declares His knowledge. We look at this wonderful creation that we have to enjoy. It is God, the one that is full of knowledge, the source of knowledge, that has created this. His creation screams that every day, every night. God is the source of knowledge. As David would say in Psalm 139 and verse number 6, he says, "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it." David, that sweet singer of Israel, says, God's knowledge is too high. I can't attain unto it. I can't counsel God. It is God that counsels you and I. Now, as you read in Proverbs chapter 1 and chapter 2, you begin to see what we should be following after. We should be following after knowledge and wisdom. That God gives, as we'll notice in a minute, through His Word. Notice in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 2. It says, "To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear." Notice this. Are you wise or are you foolish? It says, "A wise man will hear. He will increase in learning. He will abound in knowledge. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." If Solomon would try to teach his son and tell him, the principal thing that you go after is wisdom. It's knowledge. You need to know. See, what we don't know can hurt us. What we don't know will hurt us. We can't turn a blind eye to things. We need to know what it is that God wants us to know, and He tells us, do this, shun this, walk on the straight and narrow, and I will reward you diligently. Now in Psalm 73. Psalm 73, there is a psalm there. It is a psalm of Asaph. And we're not going to go through the whole thing, but I would encourage you to do that on your own. But Asaph is struggling with some things. He's looking out and he's saying, why is it that the wicked prosper? He says, basically, I'm doing God's will. I'm not prospering. He's looking at things wrong. He's basing his knowledge on something else other than God's word. He's noticing these wicked ones. And look what he says in verse number 11. "About these that are wicked, they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High?" See, that's what the foolish man asks. But the wise man says, I know there's knowledge in the Most High. I know it's the knowledge that I need. I need to stay with God's Word. I need to abound in knowledge. I need to be overflowing with knowledge. Well, the only way to do that is to study God's Word. We can't take God's Word and just put it on our head and get a bunch of lot of knowledge. We have to study God's Word. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." You cut it straight. God said, you make sure that you know what you're doing. You make sure that you're following my will, because man's wisdom, man's knowledge will lead us to the depths of hell. But God wants us to be in glory. We see the contrast between the wise man and the foolish man. Proverbs chapter 2, verse number 1 through 6, it says, "The wise man searches and finds knowledge." Now, I want us to notice from Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 14. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 14. It says, "Wise men," what are you? What am I? It says, wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Here he says, friends and brethren, that the wise man stockpiles knowledge. Knowledge upon knowledge upon knowledge upon knowledge. God's knowledge. God wants us to be wise. God has given us these warnings. Isaiah chapter 33 and verse number 6, as we continue with the first point, the source of knowledge is God. Isaiah 33 and verse number 6, our life on this earth is equated to a walk. And notice what it says about the stability of our legs. It says, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. That healthy respect for God. Wanting God's word. Leaning forward for God's word. Yearning for God's word. Hungering and thirsting after righteousness. If we want to walk from here to heaven, we need stable legs. We need knowledge. God's knowledge. God's wisdom. The source of knowledge is God. Point number two, the standard of knowledge is God's word. In Psalm chapter 94, verse number 9 beginning. Psalm 94 and verse number 9 beginning. It says, he that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chasteneth the heathen, shall not he correct? He that teacheth man knowledge. Notice that. Man does not teach man knowledge. It is God that teaches man knowledge. God teaching from his inspired scriptures. God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to do it? How do you want me to handle this situation? How do you want me to deal with this thing that's in my life, God? God has given us what we need to walk from here to heaven. God's word, the standard of judgment. When we think about God and his knowledge, why would God want man to know the things that he knows? The things that he's revealed to us. Now, we don't know everything God knows, but we know his mind on how we should walk. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 4, here is the mind of God. This should be our mind as well. When we see the mind of God, that should be our mind. He is our Heavenly Father. Here it says, He will have, who will have all men to be saved, notice this, and come to the knowledge of the truth. John 17 and verse number 17, Jesus praying that prayer there to God the Father. He says, thy word is truth. God wants every man, every woman to come to the knowledge of the truth. He wants them to be saved. He's taken the knowledge from his mind. He says, they're separated from me. I want them to be saved. I want them to live according to the truth. So I'm going to tell them how to do it through my inspired scriptures. The standard of knowledge is God's word. Turn, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse number 15 beginning. The source of knowledge is God. The standard of knowledge is God's word. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 15. Notice what Paul told Timothy, what he reminded Timothy of. He says here, and that from a child, notice this, notice in these verses where it says knowledge and know and knowing as we continue with the lesson. He says, and that from a child thou hast known. That's knowledge. Known what? Known the Holy Scriptures. Well, what do the Holy Scriptures do? They're able to make thee wise. Don't be foolish. Be wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Notice the knowledge. The knowledge that God imparts through his inspired scriptures, they're able to make one wise unto salvation. If that is your goal, if that's what you want, if you want salvation, you have to have godly knowledge. You have to have biblical knowledge. You have to live a godly, upright life. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3. In the previous lessons, it was quoted, it was read. But notice again, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3. It says, according as His divine power hath given us all things, A-L-L, that's all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us unto glory and virtue. See, without God's knowledge, we don't know how to walk. With not knowing how to walk, we can't make it to heaven. We have to have God's knowledge. Friends and brethren, members of the church, we have to study God's Word. We have to know His precepts. We have to know His principles. If when you get home, your Bible stays there on the coffee table all week long, it is not imparting knowledge to you. But when you open it up and you begin to look, you begin to say, you know, that situation I was going through, there's the answer right there. I don't have to struggle with that anymore. God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us unto glory and virtue. Now in Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 29, we need to apply this principle that Jesus put forth there in our lives. Here He says, ye do err, not knowing, that's knowledge, not knowing what? Not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. The power of God unto salvation is the gospel. He's saying you err because you don't know the Scriptures that are able to make you wise unto salvation. You don't know the power of God. You don't know the gospel. You don't know the preaching of the cross. You don't know about Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18 and following. He says you do err. Same for us today. If we don't know about the gospel, if we don't know about the truth, if we don't know what God has shown us through the inspired Scriptures that make us wise unto salvation, then we are living our life in error. We don't want to live that way. We want to live right before God. Here's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse number 37. He says, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. He would say in Galatians chapter 1, verse 11 and 12, talking about the gospel, he said, it's not after man. It's not after man's knowledge. He says, I didn't receive it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. You see the difference? Man's knowledge causes foolishness. God's knowledge, following God's will, obeying God's will bring you and I salvation. Eternal abode in heaven. Don't you want to go to heaven? Don't you want to go to heaven? We have to stay with God's Word. Paul said, these are the commandments of the Lord. I received it by revelation. It didn't come by a man. So when we look at the epistles, we need to realize this is inspired Scripture. This is from God. God breathed. And we can take it to the bank. If we follow it, obey it, we will be in heaven one day. Amen. We're not going to go through all these, but you can pin them down. I really want to get to the third point here momentarily. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12, God's Word is powerful. James chapter 1 and verse number 25, God's Word is perfect. James chapter 1 and verse number 21, God's Word is able to save. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 25, God's Word endures forever. Now when we think about that day, that great day of judgment that's coming, it is the words of Jesus Christ. John chapter 12 and verse 48. It is the truth, that's God's Word. Romans chapter 2 and verse number 2, that we are going to be judged by. We're going to be judged by Jesus Christ, that righteous judge on that day by the gospel. Romans chapter 2 and verse number 16. Seeing that we're going to be judged by that, shouldn't we know it? Shouldn't we know God's Word? But the harsh reality is this, as we turn to Romans chapter 10, verse number 1 through verse number 3. And as you're turning there, we want to be reminded of something else. The Apostle Paul penned to Timothy in that second epistle to him, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 7. He says, there's those men that are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They're always learning something, but they're not learning the truth. See, they haven't emptied their mind of worldliness. They haven't emptied their mind of false doctrine. Because if they would empty their mind of worldliness and false doctrine, then they can put in the seed, Luke chapter 8 and verse number 11. The truth of God's Word. They're always learning, always learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Romans chapter 10, verse number 1, beginning. Here's the Apostle Paul. You see, he wanted all men to be saved. He wanted men to stand for the truth, to stand for what is right, because it comes from God. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record, they have a zeal of God, notice this, but not according to knowledge. You can be zealous all day long. You can run around and do all these things that you think are really good. But if it's not according to knowledge, if you're not in Christ, it does you no good. Spinning your wheels. Verse number 3. He says, for they being ignorant, they're unlearned of God's righteousness, God's commandments, Psalm 119, 172, that's what righteousness is. It's the commandments of God, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Zealous, but not according to knowledge. The source of knowledge is God. It's not the TV set. It's not our spouses. It's not our children. It's not the preacher. It's not the elders. It's not the deacons. Now, be it if the spouse or the children or the elders or the deacon or the preacher are speaking truth, then agree with it, amen it, and live it. But we need to make sure and understand that the source of knowledge is God. And we need to stick with God. Men will let you down. The source of knowledge is God. The standard of knowledge is God's Word. Point number 3, where we will spend the rest of the time that we have. The success of knowledge is godliness. We need to make this point and make it clear. Knowledge has a goal. The goal of knowledge is action. It's not just to know things. It's not just to show people, look how much I know. The goal of knowledge is action. We learn what we should do and then we put it in practice. The problem with the church today is they learn what to do, they know what to do, but then I don't want to put it in practice. We need to think about that in our lives. 10 quick things as we have time. Since he gets 2 sermons, Jason, I can take some of his time. Amen. Got a lot of amens on that. I want us to notice these things about knowledge. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15. Remembering that the goal of knowledge is action. The success of knowledge is godliness. Godliness is walking in a godly manner. God has put forth how we are to walk. He's the one with that knowledge. He's the one that's holy. He's put forth His Word and He says, you study My Word, you learn My Word, and you live My Word. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15. Paul tells Timothy there, he says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know, that's knowledge, know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. You mean I need knowledge to know how I ought to behave myself in the church? Amen. Just as I needed knowledge from my father when I talked back to that teacher on how I was going to live in his house, how I was going to behave. He was going to make sure that I knew how to behave when his roof was over my head. Now, when we talk about the home, we need to realize, brethren, speaking to members of the church, brothers and sisters in Christ, that the husband is the head of the house. And he has a head, which is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ has a head, which is God, who is the source of knowledge. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 3. Sisters, do you allow your husband to be the head of the house? Do you know how to behave in the church? But husbands, do you know how to deal with your spouse according to knowledge? 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 7. Do you love your spouse like Christ loved the church? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 and verse 26. He gave himself for it. See, a woman has no problem letting her man be the head of the house if he loves her properly. Amen. These are things we need to think about how to behave in the church and in the home. Now we also need to realize that in Christ Jesus, we are a new creature. We are a new person. Go, if you will, with me to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 6. We were there earlier in a previous lesson, but we want to go back. It's still there. It's been waiting on us to come back to it. That's the great thing about God's Word. We can look at it each and every day. It's going to wait on us. It's going to be there. Romans chapter 6, verse number 3 beginning. Here's something we need to know. We're not the same person we were before we went into the watery grave of baptism. He says there in verse number 3, know ye not. You should have knowledge of this, that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death. Notice verse number 4 at the end. He said that we should walk in newness of life. That's how we should walk. Newness of life. Look, if you will, to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 10. You see, this new man doesn't walk according to the world. It doesn't walk according to the counsel of foolish men. It walks according to God's knowledge. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 10. And have put on the new man, notice this, that's renewed, made new again in knowledge, after the image of Him that created him. See, we take God, the source of knowledge, God's Word, the standard of knowledge, and we want to be godly, God-likeness, living upright for God. So we put these things into practice. Our mind is renewed. The new man is renewed through knowledge. God's knowledge. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 4. There's something that we need to know about possessing our vessel. See, the way we need to view ourselves, friends and brethren, this body is a host. This body is a tent. This body is a tabernacle. This body is an encasing. Who we really are is who we are on the inside. And while we were in this body, this new man, renewed in knowledge, we are to know how we should possess our vessels. How? In sanctification and honor. We don't know that without God's Word. We don't know how to walk. We don't know how to live. We don't know what sanctification is. We don't know what honor is. But God, the source of knowledge, has revealed it through the standard of knowledge, His Word. And He says, you study it and you live it and you will be successful with your knowledge. Because the goal of knowledge is action, godliness. How to possess our vessels. Now, it was a few years ago, and we were moving a tractor, big tractor, flatbed trailer, truck. And the place we were going to move it, I knew it was going to be a problem because the gate there is narrow. There's no shoulders on the road in these country roads where I live. There's no shoulders. And it had been raining for days. And so I knew if I got too far in the ditch, well, I was going to get stuck. And I knew that the gate was very narrow, and I've already been down that road as a young man and ran over a gate. So I didn't want to do that again. So I'm thinking about what I'm going to do the whole time. So as I go in, I go to swing this trailer with this tractor on it, try not to get into the ditch. And I think I have basically going in the right angle. Well, the guy I was with, he had went out and he stopped me. You're not going to make it. Well, if I would have went on like I thought, I would have made it. But he stopped me. You're not going to make it. You got to back up some. And so I go to back up, and when I go to back up, all of a sudden it's muddy, the road is muddy, so this truck, my dad's truck, I got a lot of stories about my dad, he wasn't happy about this either. His truck started sliding into the cross tie. And so the truck slid into the cross tie, and as I tried to go forward, the cross tie is basically in the truck, and the truck is around the cross tie. And not only that, the trailer's in the ditch and the tractor, the big tractor's hanging on the trailer like this. Now, the guy I was with that I listened to, he told me, he said, just unhook the trailer. I said, I'm not going to do that. I have that much knowledge not to do that. But the point of that story is the way is narrow. The ditches are wet. You will get stuck. And listening to others will put you in a bind. Now think about this mile. For every mile of road, you've heard this before, there's 2 miles of ditches. And you can go off to the right or you can go off to the left, but you will get stuck if you follow man's way. Number 4, we need to know how to speak. Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 6, notice this. It says, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man." We don't know that without studying God's word, how to speak. Number 5, we need to know that this world is not our friend. James chapter 4 and verse number 4. "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." He says, know you not, you're a new man, you're renewed in knowledge, you can't be like the world. If you're going to be a friend with the world, you're an enemy with God. We need to be a friend with God and an enemy with the world, the ways of the world. Number 6, the brevity of life. James chapter 4 and verse number 14. The reason we need to know about the brevity of life, because Ephesians 5:16 tells us to redeem the time because the days are evil. But James says this in James 4 and verse 14. "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away." See, you don't know. You don't know what's going to be happening tomorrow. You don't know if there is a tomorrow. You don't know if you're going to make it through the rest of the day. He said, these are things that you should know. And one thing you should know is there's uncertainty about tomorrow. So live righteous today, this moment. Number 7, that there is action to take. Remember on point number 3, the goal of knowledge is action. The success of knowledge is godliness. James chapter 2 and verse number 20. Here it says, "But wilt thou know?" Now I don't care what the world says. I don't care what the world says about this. I know what James penned down through inspiration. He says, "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead." Action. We need to be active in the Lord's work. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 58. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Now, clock's a long ways back there. And you moved up there awfully slow. Look, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Point number 8, that we must engage in battle. Here's what it says in verse number 3 beginning. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself." Notice this. "Against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." If you want to know how to win the battle, you have to know how to possess your vessel. You need to know where the war is. The war is waged within the mind. Anything that is opposed to God's knowledge is trying to fight against your soul salvation. And we need to know that we are in a war. Two more passages. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 20. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 20. Friends and brethren, we need to realize this. The world wants us. Here it says, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world," speaking to members of the church, how did they escape the pollutions of the world? "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and are entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse than the beginning." We need to know how not to get captured. We need to know how not to be entangled. The last verse we will look at tonight is 1 John chapter 5, verse number 13. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 13. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." How are we going to know that we have eternal life? Unless we have obeyed what God, the source of knowledge, has said through the standard of knowledge, His Word. And we continue to live faithfully for Him. Now, as one deacon says there, Lovely, said, well, you lied to us. You said one more verse, but you always have one more after that. Notice, if you will, 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 3. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 3. He's written these things that we may know that we have eternal life. God's Word can let us know if we have eternal life. Verse number 3. And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. We are to be abounding, and we are to be abounding in knowledge. And to abound in knowledge, we have to go to the right source, which is God. God's Word, the right standard. And we need to realize that the success of knowledge is godliness. There's action that must be taken. It's not enough just to know. We have to act. We have to live. We have to go about doing God's will. And then we know we have eternal life. And what a blessing that is. Thank you.